cliffcentral.com.
Ah, yes. Good morning, everybody. Here we are. We're live. It's Thursday, and we've got Pumi Mashiko. We've got Mbulelo Tinta. You got me, you, and that's pretty much all we need this morning. All right, so before we get into the morning, there's lots to talk about today, and we've got a great burning platform coming up for you later on. I'm sure it's going to be great. We've got former mayor of Johannesburg, Action SA's Herman Mashaba, who Pumi's got a couple of questions for. She wants him to do some splaining, and we've got the new DA mayoral candidate for Johannesburg joining us too. I hadn't heard of her before now, but she is called Mpo Palatsi, and she's going to be joining us too. So got a busy day ahead of us. It's worth mentioning, and Pumi just told the story so beautifully that I hope you don't mind me saying this, Pums, but Pumi's grandmother died at 95, which, you know, in anybody's book is an incredible achievement. And she seems to have been one of those people who was there to the end, you know. And you said, Pums, that she got everything she wanted in her life, and she just passed away peacefully in her sleep, which is just the best thing anyone could wish for.
Absolutely. So I just worked out that I would have to live for another 5.5 years before I'm half the age my grandmother was when she passed.
Wow. So you're not even halfway to what she was.
She's so
incredible. Yeah. Obviously, you know, condolences, but when it's someone very old and they've had a good, full, and mostly happy life, you know, you kind of don't feel so bad. And I hope one day that's the case for all of us.
Oh, please, God.
Good genes.
She was feisty till the end. Yeah, Mbulelo, I don't know. Hey, I don't know if it's like good genes, because like the end there, I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to live to this long. Don't want to know if you want to live to this old. But she was like feisty to the end, guys. She was
That's so great. What a way to go.
Funny and everything.
That's beautiful. So we've got a couple of things on the agenda this morning too. We had a soldier
like your birthday.
Oh yeah. There are lots of people already, and thank you in the comments. So lots of people in the comments saying happy birthday, Gareth. Thank you so much. And listen, thank you. I mean, what can I say? You know, I don't love birthdays because I don't like any fuss being made. I've never liked them. I was always the person who, when people started singing happy birthday, I wanted to kill myself
and hide away.
I still hate it. I don't know what to do when people give me compliments. I don't know what people to do when I don't know what to do when people give me presents. I'm probably better at it now than I have been, but I'm still not very comfortable with it. So let's not make too much of a fuss this morning, but I appreciate it. Thanks, Pums.
All right, then. I'll be singing a little bit later on.
No, we won't have any of that. We had a soldier on yesterday, a guy who was deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq, and he was really, really interesting to talk to. And I know, Mbulelo, you were listening intently through that. It was just really good to hear about the experiences of, and obviously, you know, different soldiers have different experiences. They're not all the same. But to hear about a life that I think probably very many fewer men in the world experience now than in previous generations we didn't really have an option. You know, you were kind of recruited into X or Y brigade, and then there you were on the battlefield before you knew it. And you know, the day before we were speaking to Douglas Rattray about the Zulu warriors who fought at Isandlwana, and I was thinking about how that's a theme for this week almost, that, you know, there are these generations of men who've brought us, and maybe it's because of Afghanistan and what's happening there, but that these generations of men who've come before us, the winners and the losers, who have made history, and not only that, but they've created this future that we live in now, which is mostly safe. I mean, we do have to deal with a lot. We've got coronavirus still on the go here. We've got economic problems all over the world. There's massive inequality. There's, you know, issues with how we treat each other and the planet, and those are never going to go away. But it is amazing to know and to take stock of how far we've come as a species, and to hear from soldiers and historians about all those men who've come before us and fought to make the life that we have now the norm. It's really, it's special. And we don't take enough time to just be grateful to them, the ancestors, the Amatlozi who are departed, you know, those ones who laid down their lives so that we could have, you know, a cup of coffee in the morning and the kind of life where we can decide what we're going to do today and where we have to find time to exercise, because we're not going to be exerting ourselves on a battlefield and coming close to death. It's small things, but it matters enormously when you get to see it in the history, the context of history. I love that whole theme about this week, and I thought it was interesting having Ryan on yesterday, having Douglas on the day before, and of course I'd like to bring more guests like that to you over the next few weeks, because I think that they really do give us enormous insight. So,
well said.
You were thinking about it too. I mean, you were thinking about it on the political level, right, Bulelo?
Well, yeah. I mean, I when I got home, I gave my mother a call, and we kind of, I was just telling her that we had a guy, because she obviously, as a diplomat, she served as the soft yuppie I was talking about on the other side. And I was kind of talking to her about, yeah, we spoke to this guy, and it was, you know, and she said something that was, it's quite haunting because we don't see violence much. It's like, you know, I did ask Ryan, and he was quite diplomatic about it, but it's like, you know, we always worry about violence. And my mom said something which for me, and I haven't been shaken in a while, but she said, you know, if civilians knew how much violence has to happen for you to have the peace you have now, you wouldn't be so offended by what the soldiers have to do. But the amount of violence in order for you to be able to have, and for dickheads like me to have single origin coffee as a conversation, there is so much violence that keeps this stability. And this is what she was saying, as, and it was quite haunting. And, you know, I realized yesterday I have bloody no respect, because guys like Ryan, whether you like it or not, I'm so sick and tired of NGO kids in Rosebank who keep telling me that the world is just soft. It's like, guys like Ryan is why you and I can do something like this. And you don't have to like it. I'm not asking anybody to like it. I know everybody now soft is violence, I'm afraid. And my mother keeps saying this, is violence or freedom at the moment. We haven't figured out with how to get freedom without the end of a barrel. It just does come at that price. And that is haunting for me. But I really admired Ryan yesterday. And I admire men and women like that. I really do. I don't know what to say other than that.
Sure. And, you know, as South Africans, we're actually so close to that violence that got us to this precarious reality we currently live. Like, a lot of people don't quite have a sense of that timeline. Like, so many people don't know how close 1992 and the crazy amounts of violence that this country at the brink of, I mean, we didn't have a full-scale civil war, but at the brink of, and we still take it for granted, because we actually don't get it. We don't get how much violence got us here.
But thank God we have the milk crate challenge now. You know, it really allows us as a species. I mean, without the milk crate challenge, we'd really have nothing to keep us from being completely soft. At least with the milk crate challenge, you see a couple of people fall and break some bones. And it's not war, but it's an approximation of the human struggle. Yeah, I think that that's really important. I watched this stupid video. I follow this channel on Instagram called Laugh Nigeria. And they just put up like the funniest shit from all over the world, but it's mostly Nigerian. So some of it you wouldn't necessarily understand if you didn't have, like, if you didn't live in Africa and if you didn't particularly live in Nigeria. But this, they had this guy on a BMX bike on the top of a pyramid of crates, and he's busy and he's fucking around on the top of this thing, and he's kind of, you know, he's got the one wheel down and he's about to grab the seat, and then he tries to ride down and the whole thing obviously collapses under him and he like falls on his head or whatever. I mean, they're going to be people, there already are, who have terrible spinal injuries and, you know, massive back problems, and some people who will probably come out of this paraplegic or whatever. But the fact is, like, this is, I say don't stop people from doing the milk crate
from
challenge.
Being stupid.
Yeah, they must be allowed to.
It's a human right. Listen, it's a human right to be stupid.
Thank you. That's the That's one of the truest things ever said. It is a human right to be stupid. You're allowed. Ooh. I love it. Yeah, don't let anyone stop you. So Venetia wants to know, and I don't think this will ever happen, but Venetia says, I also vote for Mbulelo's mom to come on the show.
I asked her before and she said no.
Anushka says the same thing. Harmin says the same thing. They all want to meet your mom.
No one's mom wants to hang out with their kids' friends.
No, that's a good point. I did ask her before, but she said
she's not interested. Yeah. All right. Well, we tried, everybody. Sorry. No, that's the end of that. It's not going to go any further than that. Silas says, we're moving closer and closer to the movie Idiocracy and making it a reality. That's so true. I mean, so these challenges, what was it? There was planking, which was also a couple of people died doing planking on like railway
tracks.
Yeah, like they did it on the building and then they lost their balance and tumbled down the side of the building. And like people, it's not
don't
all of us.
We love natural. I'm just glad we still have natural selection. Like, don't you just, like those people could have procreated. Yes. There could have been more of them. Like, natural selection, just select them out of the equation.
You know, I think that these things also, it colors stuff in. Like you get people who do mildly risky things, people who do hugely risky things, but we don't consider normal life. Like you get in your car and you drive to the office every day and probably that's the thing that'll kill you. Or you eat bacon and you don't worry about cholesterol. Probably that's the thing that'll kill you. But we go, ooh, you shouldn't be a skydiver. That's very dangerous. Or you shouldn't do drugs. That's very dangerous. But the people who are eating bacon every morning and the people who are driving to work, or if you are unfortunate enough to have to be in a taxi with a really dangerous driver, that's probably the thing that will get you. So a milk crate challenge sounds risky. Some people will do dumb stuff and we'll try to stop them. Watch governments get involved. They'll try to stop them, Pumi. People do not understand what you just said, this maxim of it is your human right to be stupid.
And you know what was cool back in the day was that, it was very clear who's on my side. And it's like, okay, you're wearing that badge and that crest nowadays, I'll marry anyone. I'm not even going to ask you. There's no interview. Like, that's really dangerous. Like, back then, it was clear. You want to kill me. I want to kill you. So it's kind of clear you marry the women that are in your village. Like now, people, I met her. We swapped saliva at a nightclub while we were unbelievably inebriated. We're married 3 months later.
I didn't even go to that much trouble. I just swiped left or right.
Swipe left.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, that's it. It's so
dangerous.
Yeah. Shame. I've now got 3 friends who they're just so desperate to settle down. They just want a wife.
Oh, shame, man.
You know, and I mean, they're 3 very different people, and they're all, none of them are underachievers or losers in any way. I think they have high standards, which maybe is something they have in common, but they are really, and I'm sure there are lots of girls on the other side who are also desperate to just find the right guy. And I look at these 3 and they have different approaches to how, you know, one of them has no game at all. The other one is super, super picky and he's his own worst enemy. And the third one, he's just lonely. And there's think about those 3 guys and they're obviously, they all have their own explanation for why they've ended up in this situation, or maybe that they're trying to find it or they think there's something wrong with it. But one of the most, it's just frustrating things, I suppose, about humans is the way that it's become like instant gratification in terms of relationships. You have to put in some effort, man. And this is not the fault of those 3, but it's the fault of all of us in this consumer instant gratification takeaway world that we live in now, where you go on Netflix, you can watch anything, and you can drive up to McDonald's and you order food and it's in your hands in a minute and a half. And people just don't have patience anymore. You know, if you wrote a letter to someone 50 years ago, you had to write it on paper. I mean, not even 50, let's say 30 years ago. You had to write it on paper. You had to put it in an envelope, to write the address, send the envelope. It had to get there, which sometimes would take a long time. And if our post office had anything to do with it, probably still not delivered. But eventually we'd get them. They'd open it on their side. They'd actually see your handwriting. They'd read it. Maybe they'd write a reply straight away, or they'd put it in their desk and they'd write a reply a week or two later. I mean, it just felt like people were investing huge time and effort into each other, which I'm worried that we're not doing anymore. And I think maybe that might be part of the problem with so many people who are dissatisfied and anxious and, you know, angry. And the guys especially, there are lots of men in the world today who are just feeling a little disconnected from their hunting, shooting, screwing ancestors. I wonder if that's part of it. What do you think?
That's amazing. That's interesting. I mean, I don't know if that is universal. I think a lot of people have so many things happening that they have less and less time for all of that. I know quite a number of single people who are just fine in the singleness, and because there's so much going on, right? There's so much going on.
I'm there
all of that time. To invest all of that time for in another person. And
But that was fine before coronavirus. I'd have said, sure, great excuse. You know, I mean, I'm happy in my singleness. I actually had this conversation just yesterday with somebody. But there are lots of people who are not. And if you were complaining that you were too busy and you had too much going on, and that was true up to 2020. But 2020 gave everybody time. Everybody found a bit of time. You're not driving. You're not traveling back and forth to work as much maybe as you were before. You do have time, and thanks to electronic communication, you also have the means to get hold of it. Come on.
We only had time to bake banana bread.
Yeah. How long does that take?
That's what we were doing, like baking banana bread, watching the Netflix. Zooming.
Is your friend above 30? All of them? Yeah. Here's the reality, and it's brutal, right? Is like, I'm cool at the moment being single, but what's your friend with standards, and I know that's what people say when they don't have game, is that all the good ones are taken. Just realize what he has to do. I love standards. I'm all about standards. All the good ones above 30 are taken. You're probably going to have to go to the second or third rung and compromise on far more than you, just because good people are taken in business and in life, right? Like that I don't think that's a hugely hot take.
Or if you're a guy, you need to be super wealthy, because then you can marry off your age, and she can spend your money, and then everyone's happy. You know, that can happen.
Well said. I want
to
get wealthy.
So here's some interesting points. Andy says, some people need a partner to complete their lives. That's boring to Andy. I don't know. I mean, some people just...
And dangerous. It not only is it boring, but it's extremely dangerous. Nobody can complete you. It is not somebody else's responsibility to complete you. I think Dr. Hanan touched on it on Monday, for those that listened. Yeah. If you don't listen, the podcast is available. It'll be okay. It's available on cliffcentral.com, the Cliff Central app, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love that. Well done.
Yeah.
Tracy,
now, while you're doing that, just tell everybody, remind everybody to like and subscribe.
Yes, please do it quickly. Come on.
If you believe in birthdays, which is absolute nonsense, of course, it doesn't matter. But the preeminent figure in audio in South Africa for the last 20 years, Gareth Cliff, celebrates his birthday today. If you want to be a good person to say happy birthday, remember to like, share, subscribe, and leave a comment below. Cliffcentral.com, the only place to get your entertainment.
I'll do this in a more direct way, because I know my audience don't like bullshit. So if you're going to say happy birthday to me, just like and subscribe, because I don't give a shit for birthday greetings. If you want to make my birthday special, let's get our channel to 100,000 subscribers at the end of the year. That would make me happy. You want to make me happy? Don't say happy birthday to me. Don't send me a present. Just do that. Just get 10 of your friends, even if they don't watch us, to subscribe. Screw with the algorithm. Do it, please. That's all I care about. You want to make me happy? That's how you make me happy. Good work. So what did Dr. Hanan say? Because you set it up and then we got distracted. But you were talking about this idea of no one's going to complete you. And you referred to Dr. Hanan, but you didn't tell us, remind us what he said.
Oh, okay. I was hoping it was a tease for people to go and listen so our numbers can go through the roof so you can have a good birthday.
They're going to get the context, but we're talking about it anyway. So
yeah, it may have been this week or last week where he was saying that you shouldn't be going out there and asking somebody to complete you or be your absolute perfect partner, because that sort of pressure to put on somebody else is unreasonable. He was saying something along those lines, that it is your job to be as reasonable as you can be as you engage with the other person, you know, and be empathetic and whatever. It is nobody is perfect, and don't put that kind of pressure on someone else. It's along those lines, but he was far more articulate because he actually knows what he's talking about, unlike me.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely right. So some of the comments here. Tracy says, in 1995, I still sent my then boyfriend an actual telegram for Valentine's Day. Wow. Elon is God on completely the opposite side of the spectrum says, Gareth, what do you think of OnlyFans banning explicit content? Well,
they've just reversed that thing.
Exactly. So someone at OnlyFans
remembered that they need to make a profit.
For me, can you imagine that boardroom? I mean, I don't know if OnlyFans even has a board, but they must have some kind of governing. You know, they must have got together. Because they explained, we even spoke about it on the show on Monday or Tuesday. They explained that their bank or various banks were saying to them, we don't like what's going on here. It seems like you're promoting pornography and shit. Because, you know, the banks, like they're the ones who've stolen everyone's money on Earth. They're the ones who are going to tell us about morality. Anyway, OnlyFans quickly started announcing that they were going to start banning explicit and sexual content on OnlyFans, which is the whole point of OnlyFans, by the way. And someone must have pointed this out to the CEO and said to him, hey, listen, if you stop porn and sex, and it may be too late because a lot of people might have already left the platform, right? You're going to have nothing left. What are you going to do? Like, what else do people come to OnlyFans for? You think they're coming there to see how to fucking cook a banana bread, bake a banana bread? So they've now reversed the decision, which is news from yesterday. So all the porn fans in the world are chanting and praising and thrilled, very happy that they got their OnlyFans back.
Shout out to the ladies, dude. They're working hard out there. Shout out to them.
Did I ever tell you about seeing like a convoy of armored vehicles branded Pornhub in New York?
No. No.
Like a convoy. Four huge, like reinforced black window tinted, those mega jeeps that like only Americans know how to drive. Yeah. Like reinforced dark windows with the front bull bars and whatever. I'm like, what do you think they're moving in the Pornhub trucks? Like what is porn trucks?
But they Pornhub- get branding those guys. Because they pitched, so in Las Vegas, they just released top five greatest stadiums in the world, right? It is unbelievable, this thing. It's absolutely incredible. I think it costs $7 billion or something mental. But anyway, Pornhub bid to be a sponsor of the stadium. They put in an equal bid and they were all over the social media with it. Those guys, they get branding, man. They are, whoever it is, genius businessmen and women.
Yeah, but just the name alone, Pornhub was such a, like, how did nobody ever think about this?
I love it.
Like, how it's did so nobody ever think about this?
Pornhub. Excellent. Riet says, happy birthday, Gareth. Stay single, stay safe. Silas says, this is great advice. Silas Masila says, for the people with multiple personalities, make sure all your personalities like and subscribe to this YouTube channel. Good move. Yeah, very good. That's great. Yeah, lots of people brought up that Tom Cruise is the one in that movie, Jerry Maguire, that said, you complete me, with Renee Zellweger, wasn't it?
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Cuba Gooding. Show me the money. Yeah.
That's the one. Anyway,
have you seen, speaking of movies, guys, have you seen The Big Short, the one about like the crash of the
but ages ago, Pums. I mean, like when Bernie Madoff arrested up that movie.
So Kanejo made me watch it the other day.
Oh yeah,
So, which first time ever, like I hadn't seen it before. So now the constant conversation about banks and how, like, how, mommy, how did nobody in the whole world see this coming? How did, and so did the banks, nobody go to prison? It's such a thing. So on the one side, you have movies telling you that people can complete you and it like fucks up. But on the other side, you know, you like have movies that explode the minds of young people about the corrupt,
well, I mean, like, but this is why,
money schemes.
I thank you very much, banks of the world, for climbing onto OnlyFans and saying you can't be involved in what OnlyFans are doing. How dare you, when you basically plunged the world into at least two financial crises in my lifetime. How about you shut up and take a back seat? You know, I'm not a big fan of these massive banks. I don't think they do as much good as they profess to.
Dude. And
as Sean Sanders said yesterday on the show, it's like you drive into Sandton or even the CBD of Joburg, you drive into Cape Town, you see the banks plastering their logos all over the buildings they own. That's money that, trust me, that they got that by using everyone else's money cleverly. And they deserve some of that. But do they deserve all of it? I don't know.
And Kanego's biggest pain about the bank system is that they actually use your money. Like, I mean, yeah, the money you put in the bank, that's the money they use. He was so horrified. He was like, what if I want my money back?
That's it. And sometimes, like in the 2008 financial crisis, sometimes they don't give your money back. And then they expect the government to give them their money back. That's the irony of this whole thing. Anyway.
if he's into history, it sounds like he's into learning. You can look up a YouTube series, but the book's incredible. It's called The History of Money by a guy called Niall Ferguson. And it takes us right back. But it only starts with sort of the Medicis there. And it comes forward. It doesn't really do much before that. So very, very good. If he's interested.
Doesn't talk about the curry shells.
No.
I think he's only interested if he can watch a movie. The reading, I'm not there yet.
No,
I haven't.
It's on YouTube.
Like got that.
It's on YouTube.
Is it on YouTube? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell him.
History of Money. Very good.
I'm sure he'll
know. And you know what? The earlier kids learn about this shit and figure out that, like, the banks are not on your side, the better. The earlier they figure out that kind of truth, the better their lives will be. So listen, I don't want to jump the gun here, but they were telling us about this terrible cold front that's coming, right? Now, again, I don't want to tempt fate, but I was looking to have an extremely cold day today. My weather.
But it's only on Sunday.
Sunday. Maximum 18, minimum 3. Is that what you're talking about?
On Sunday.
A minimum of 3. That's cold. But yesterday I was walking around in shorts and a t-shirt.
Oh, yesterday was a divine day. It was a divine day.
Beautiful. Anyway, Captain Cook says OnlyFans is a glitch in the Matrix. That's true. Elon says porn is art because Robin says she finds porn defiling. It leaves her cold. So Elon says porn is art. I think movies, etc., stuff people up, says Ruth. Put a lot of people in a false sense of reality. Hollywood. I want to watch a lot of olden movies. That's real entertainment. You know, that stuff's making a huge return at the moment. People are watching old movies like Casablanca, and they're just falling in love with
it.
Generations of kids who never wanted to, I mean, we never wanted to watch that shit when we were kids, and now it's become popular again, right?
But you also don't want to become like our parents, right? I've noticed I've become like this. It's like, oh, movies were better back then. Like, they're still making good movies from what I hear, you know? There's still good stuff coming out. You don't want to be like, listen to the 80s.
Like Marvel movies, yeah.
No, but there's, you see, you can't,
like there's the,
you can watch
the
good films.
Aretha Franklin biopic?
Oh, that I would watch.
I will watch that. Out of respect, I will watch it.
It's got Jennifer Hudson and her pipes. Come on.
Mm-hmm. But she's nothing compared to Ree.
No.
Oh, no.
Well, why is she on there?
Jennifer Hudson. Compared to Sis Ree, please, give me a favor. All right. No. So one thing about birthdays, and today I'm going to, this is such a double-edged sword, and I know it sounds ungrateful, but you spend, I'm sure you do too, you spend your whole birthday replying to people who've sent you birthday messages. You don't.
So you must do it at the end of the day.
Oh, but I'll be exhausted.
And actually, I think the most perfect kind of response is one big response for everyone. You know?
Oh, okay. So you say on you say on social media, thanks to everyone who sent me a message today. I really appreciate it. Love you all. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for the love. And yes.
All right. I'll try that. Maybe that's the way I've got to go. All right.
Otherwise, a person like you, you're going to spend the whole of tomorrow responding to everybody. Well,
how lucky I am. People give a shit.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah, I know. Mustn't complain. That's the worst thing I have to worry about today. Then I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Okay. Pumi, apparently lots of people agree with you. It's Ruth and others who say, you know, unless they're very special people, give a general reply to everybody. Sometimes what I do is, this sounds horrible, but I'll type out a little message. It won't be long, like two lines. Thanks so much for the birthday wish. Great to hear from you. And appreciate the whatever, and then I'll copy and paste that and use it for everybody. But it's not because.
And now that you've told us, you can never do that again.
No, I know, but it's not because I don't want to type up an individual one. It's just because I'm acknowledging it, and you know, I'll be talking to you anyway. It's not like we only talk on my birthday. I mean, there are those people who only message you on your birthday, but I'm not really. I have too many of those in your life. All right, so some headlines for this morning. First things first, let's take a look at what's going on in the world. First of all, in China, they've introduced Xi Jinping thought to the curriculum. Aren't you excited? Here's some more propaganda from the Chinese. Xi Jinping thought will help teenagers. Now, I read this directly from the BBC this morning. Will help teenagers to establish Marxist beliefs, said the Ministry of Education in new guidelines. The ideology will integrate primary school up to university, the latest effort by Mr. Xi to consolidate the ruling Chinese Communist Party's role in different areas of society. That's the truest line ever. This is an effort by the government to consolidate the government's role in society. It's not for your children. You know, the minute the government makes their own goals the purpose and the major priority, then you know it's not about you or your kids or about education or anything else. This is what they need. So if government needs engineers, then they'll make engineers. If government needs doctors, they'll make doctors. It's unbelievable. So they say they aim to cultivate the builders and successors of socialism with an all-round moral, intellectual, physical, and aesthetic grounding. Good luck with that. Another reason not to want to go to China, in my book. Although some people love this kind of shit. I mean, there are people who just all over the world, Australia, just love their government. Becky Taylor says they have, surprise, surprise, a shortage of 14,000 new police recruits. And that's because of COVID-19, according to him. But I wonder how much of that is also because of bad leadership in the police. And I wonder how much of that is because the police in this country is not a it's not a professional outfit. It's not something that people are, they're lining up around the block to join the police. Most of the police people I've met, and there are good ones, I always have to say this because people otherwise, you know, they read it wrong. There are good police women and men, and South Africa's got a handful of those that are really good at their jobs, detectives and, you know, superintendents and people who really have worked very hard. And then there are those ones who just advanced politically or couldn't get another job. So they became a policeman because that's all they could do. And that's no reason for someone who's motivated to want to join something. You don't join for negative reasons. You join for positive ones, hopefully. So that's the police. 14,000 recruits that they need that they don't have. We've been wondering where he is, but Julius Malema has finally raised his head above the parapet wall because he's really had nothing to say for a very long time. He lashed out at the ANC for tactics to retain power ahead of the local elections. Again, you know, just like the Chinese Communist Party, Julius only makes a noise when it starts to affect him. He's not that interested in people losing their jobs, losing their livelihoods. He uses those people as a shield and as a sword to brandish against his political opponents. But it's only when the EFF is actually threatened that he opens his mouth. Anyway, he said the ANC are making announcements about their readiness to head to the polls during a media briefing. They also said that government's stringent lockdown regulations and their deployment of defense forces has hindered the freeness and fairness of the polls. Oh, you don't say, Julius, but you were the one who was calling for an extended lockdown just a few months ago. Remember that? I'm not the only one who remembers that, right, Pumi? You're on mute.
Yeah? I know.
Why is he suddenly worried about lockdowns? Before, he was a big fan.
He's not worried about lockdowns. He's worried about not getting enough votes.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, don't get it twisted. It may sound like he's worried about lockdowns. That's just a ruse. Oh, poor Julius.
You're so right.
Poor Julius.
That his party intends to flout lockdown restrictions. Now suddenly he's a lockdown ender like me. This is what I remember. I had that argument on Reedy Tlabi's show last year, and I was the only one in South Africa who was saying we need to stop these lockdowns immediately. It's a disaster. And now Julius is on my side. Shows you, comes full circle, huh? He says there is no longer a lockdown for the EFF. Lockdown criminals who want to sneak their party back through the back door while telling us not to campaign, be ready.
But they weren't in lockdown. Do you remember they had that huge march?
Yeah.
In Pretoria. Right. Come on. Nah.
Rules for
you know whose birthday it was yesterday, Garrett?
Whose birthday?
Didi Mabuza.
Oh, how exciting. What should we do to celebrate?
Do you think he'll come out? Do you think he'll come out and give us a wave? Show us he's a laugh.
Show us who knows? Listen, Thandi Modise, and we'll get into this in the Burning Platform later on, but Thandi Modise says heads will roll over the procurement of 215 million rands worth of the COVID-19 drug Heparin in Cuba without the following of procedures by the Department of Defense last year. Oh, my God. If there hasn't been a frenzy at the trough since COVID-19 came along among government ministers, then I don't know what to say. Now, Thandi Modise says there is no way that heads are not going to roll. Procurement systems were rubbished. Thandi, I know you're new in cabinet, but you've been in parliament for the longest time. These are your comrades. These are probably the people.
Thandi.
These are probably the people she has drinks with on a Friday night. She made the statement when the department appeared before the Portfolio Committee of Defense and Military Veterans on Wednesday, which was briefed on matters related to the Cuban drug. The late Auditor General Kimi Makwetu found irregularities in the investigation into the Heparin procurement and the importation of 970,000 vials of this vaccine, which did not have authorization from SAHPRA, which is the South African Products Regulatory Authority, Health Products Regulatory Authority. The department entered into an open-ended contract that was signed after the first delivery of the drug. So this is how it happens, everybody. Are we even surprised?
You know what I always wonder when I hear this? Like, when you've been somewhere serious, you know, like Singapore, I wonder when they see this, I wonder what they're thinking. Like, they probably think, is that a different species? Because look what we're doing, and how is it possible that a bunch of people are doing that? I really do wonder what serious people think of us. You know, it must be fascinating in Singapore right now what they think about.
We are not serious people in the world.
Absolutely not.
We're really not.
We are absolutely, which is why I really do wonder. You know. When you go and see places like that, you think to yourself, like sometimes I do, I lose myself and I go, how is this possible?
Yeah.
How are you doing what you're doing?
And it feels like Groundhog Day because, you know, just when we've got Zweli Mkhize out because of the digital vibes. Now he's out on his ass and they made a big thing of like he's the health minister and he's the guy who was going to get us through COVID. Do you remember that? Then it turns out he's got his hands in the till. So they kick him out. Now there's another minister who's trying to explain how her department and let's be fair, she's only just taken over in that department. But the previous minister is still alive and well and presiding over Parliament as we speak, as the speaker, actually. So do me a favor. Tracy says,
Can you see the eye roll? Can you see? Look here.
Tracy says, heads will roll. No stone will be left unturned. New dawn. Yawn. Insert eye roll. We've heard it all before. What happened to Cyril's new dawn? And what was his other Tumamin?
Cyril. No, Cyril, Ngiktumi, look at how overweight you are. It's going to take you forever to get where Ngiktuma corner. No. Ngiktumelan, what are you going to do? Yes.
Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable.
Beyond.
These cretinous people, these mediocrities that we elect to rule over us. They're not even mediocre. Most of them are substandard. Mediocre would be a compliment.
Do you think we got the stomach right now as South Africans for an Arab Spring vibe? Just like, okay, this is unacceptable. Do you think we want to?
Can I read you something? Sorry, Pums. You can make your point, but I've got something to read you on this issue from one of our listeners. You remember Stefan, who we met in Berlin?
Yes.
So Stefan's now living in Australia, and he sent me this brilliant, brilliant article from someone about why Australia are so craven to their government and are allowing themselves to be ruled over dictator style by the bureaucrats in Canberra. And I'll read that to you in a second. What is the point you wanted to make about these people who are mediocre?
I wanted to talk about what happened to Cyril's son. I've got feedback.
What happened? What happened?
I've got feedback. Is that you? No. Can you hear that?
No, we don't hear it. It happens from time to time. It's like the ghost.
I wanted to tell you, there's a very famous Nigerian book, which every time, when I first heard The New Dawn, it reminded me of it, called Sunset at Dawn by Vincent Chukwuemeka, I don't know, Chukwuemeka or something like that. But that's how I feel. That book is about, it's about the Biafran War in Nigeria. But when I heard New Dawn, and we've all seen it, right? It was literally sunset at dawn for Cyril.
Sure. Maybe that's a book we should put on our reading list. So listen to this quickly.
It's amazing.
Because we were talking about Australia a lot last week, and we were quite mean about them, and I felt bad about it because, you know, we've spoke about like South Africans who emigrated there and all the rest of it. But here, this is written by an Australian guy to Americans. Because he says, I've got many colleagues and friends in the US who say, well, you guys are in lockdown and curfew with a totalitarian government. Why don't you just change it? Here's the thing, he says. Australia is similar but different to the US. Number one, we don't have a revolutionary period or war of independence. Americans needed to fight for their freedom. Australia just fell into being a nation by the cutting of a number of ribbons. There's no appreciation for freedom. Indeed, I just heard the national TV station talk about how people might be afforded a few more freedoms. No idea. You're free or you're not. You know, I love that language, afforded a few more freedoms. Like, you know, it's something government can give you. You're free before government in any really free country. This also, by the way, is a thing that separates us from Australia. But anyway, he says, number two, we have low tolerance for dissent. The US celebrates dissenters, has a history of narratives demonstrating how dissenters have improved the U.S., whether it's Booker T. Washington, George Washington, or Denzel Washington. There is a recognition of individual persistence and achievement. In Australia, success is not a good thing. Dissent is not a good thing. Now, again, these are not my words. This is from an Australian dude who's trying to explain to Americans why they tolerate this government oppression. Number three, Americans are suspicious of government. I'm constantly shocked when I talk to Americans, whether Democrats or Republicans, that there's a general awareness of the limitations of government. In Australia, most people, not all, think government is a friend of the people and can do no wrong. Number four, and there are a lot of South Africans who feel that way too, right? Number four, Americans have a large population. Having a large population seems to keep checks and balances in play. Australia is tiny, sparse, and spread out. As any dictator knows, distance cuts people off. That's why there's a government-imposed limit on movement. It's not about health. It's about stopping protest and stopping people from talking to each other. Let's face it, the government permits people to go to brothels, but not to see their grandparents. It's about control. Number five, the government and public service hires millions of people. Government everywhere is building a workforce at the expense of the private sector. However, it's really true in Australia. The biggest supporters of lockdowns are public servants. Why wouldn't they be? They don't care. They're employed. And they're immune from the disease. Number six, Australia doesn't have a strong private or entrepreneurial culture. Yes, there are big companies like BHP, the banks, etc. But it's incredibly difficult to start a business in Australia. When you read posts from Australian small businesses on LinkedIn, you're going to find some of the savviest business people you would find anywhere in the world. There's no choice. You just have to be. And that's true for here as well, right? I wonder what Atlassian, Canva, etc. And you wonder why they're based in the US? Well, no capital, no opposition. Number seven, there's an entrenched conformity and anti-intellectual culture in Australia. People generally don't do ideas. They do obedience very well. There are lots of books about this. The book, The Lucky Country, was not written about the people. It was a commentary on how lucky the country is, or was, despite the people. Harsh, but maybe true. So yes, we'd love to have an easy solution here in Oz, but it's not from a lack of will, energy, or desire to fight back. Not everyone is lucky as you are in the US, this guy says. That's why you guys need to treasure what you've got. I just thought that was really interesting. It was sent to me by a friend in Australia just this morning.
Sure.
It is interesting. The Americans have a whole different vibe. One of the things I will never forget, and I met a guy from Massachusetts on my travels, and we're still friends, is he's full on Massachusetts and he loves it. And their motto is quite literally live free or die. You know, is... You go to Massachusetts. I mean, their football team.
That's where the War of Independence started. They pushed the tea back into the harbor because the British were still taxing them on tea. It was a tiny thing, but they decided, no, we will not tolerate this here in Massachusetts. Throw the tea off the boats and rebel, King George, your ass. That's what they said.
Boston. That's exactly what they did. Yeah, anyway, I think you captured it well. Boston Tea Party, not what you think. What people think. But
Don't forget to listen to Life with Lebang, where Lebang Khosana chats to everyday people and conversations and situations in an unconventional way. She started a show last week and she's already hit the ground running. You need to listen to Lebang. And you got to meet her, Pumi. I'm going to bring her on one Thursday just so that you guys can spend some time together. And coming up at 8 a.m. this morning, speaking of Lebang, we've got our Sunday Times Gen Next Awards, and we are media partner for that. It's very, very important. Pumi, you know about the Gen Next Awards, don't you?
Uh-huh. Done panels. It's a really, really cool award. I actually think it's very cool because it's about, you know, what's cool and what's next and what's hip and happening and shaking. For people like me in the comm space, that's always a good thing to watch because then it kind of is a bit of a futurist, kind of tells you
the youth of South Africa we know are resilient, creative, and determined to succeed. They're a highly influential and highly misunderstood market. So research company Yellowwood conducted research for the Sunday Times Gen Next study, found that the youth have 55% of the spending power in the country, but only 20% of advertising is directed at them. So Lebang will find out more. You can listen at 8 a.m. today or get the podcasts on cliffcentral.com. I assure you that will not be a waste of your time. So live at 8 a.m. this morning. That's coming right up.
And there will be a milk crate challenge.
No milk crate challenge. I'm sad to say because I love the milk crate challenge. I have no problem with it. It's my favorite thing. I don't know if you've seen this, but this is like John Wayne, his six rules to life. And this is just straight to the point. Number one, he says, money can't buy happiness, but it is more comfortable to cry in a Mercedes than on a bicycle. Number two, forgive your enemy, but remember that bastard's name. Number three, help someone when they're in trouble, and they will remember you when they're in trouble again. And number four, many people are alive only because it's illegal to shoot them. Number five, alcohol does not solve any problems, but then again, neither does milk. I don't know if those are actually John Wayne, but they could be, and I like them. The sentiment is good.
Yeah.
Listen, do I have to share every Instagram happy birthday post? Because people usually put those in their story and share them. Do I have am I under pressure to do that today? I need to know. People have got to know.
What do you want to do? I don't want to comment on the birthday thing because it's your day, you know, Gareth. You should do what you want to do. That sounds like the right thing to say.
I'm asking because this is not just my problem. Everybody faces this question on their birthday. Do I share all the happy birthday things so I can show everybody how much people love me, which is kind of me? Or do I just go thanks and acknowledge them with like a thumbs up? What's the correct procedure? Help me understand this. I mean, you're much more sensible than Bulelo on this. Because Bulelo has no heart at all. He's made purely of stone and salt. So,
But I haven't said anything.
I know what you're going to say. Can I predict what you would say? And you just nod your head if I'm right. Don't worry about any of that crap. It's not important. Don't bother.
They'll get over themselves.
Yeah, they'll get over. It's all a big exercise in showing how close you are to each other. Leave it. That would be your opinion.
Yeah, when you're not really. Like a happy birthday, or it's the only day you talk to me. You're not that close. So what are we doing? Don't worry about it.
That's why I wanted Pumi's advice on this, because she's a little bit more heart and she's a little more worldly wise and less cynical.
These are not people who only talk to you. These are not people who only talk to you on your birthday. Bulelo, that only happens to people like you, right? These are Gareth's friends. These are people who are liking and subscribing to his channel. These are people that follow him on Twitter. These are people that care about what Gareth thinks and feels. And more importantly, they care about the fact that he was born today. So, Gareth, you must acknowledge the people and you must accept with grace, accept it graciously, all their love.
Can you give me what is the correct line to use? I mean, like, again, this is, you're socializing me, Pums. You're helping me to be a better socialized human being. What should I say?
I'm like Don Quixote here.
What are the exact words?
The words are what comes to your mind. When you read it, the words that come to mind. You know, if you like, see, Carl says, you know, ignore the birthday messages. I'm just like, well, and he ended with, fuck it. Well then, Carl, fuck you too. Thank you very much. You know? But like, Robin sends you a message and says, happy birthday, Papa G. You say, Robin, man, thanks. Yeah.
All right.
You give what you get, dog. You give what you get.
I like it. See, this is why Pums, this is why we need you in our lives. Thank God for you. Bulelo and I would never, ever make a meaningful relationship with anybody.
Listen here, it's too late to civilize Mbulelo, but you have got faith.
I love it. All right. Well, when we come back, we will have the burning platform this morning. It's brought to you by Nando's, and we've got some terrific guests. We're going to have Herman Mashaba in his first ever face-to-face with Pumi Mashiho. And we're going to... She puts on her glasses. She's getting ready. Pumi's getting ready.
Listen, I may not be half my grandmother's age, but my eyes, you know, the bright lights, the TV screen, I can feel my eyes kind of... It's not even 7 yet.
I'm meant to wear glasses now, and I'm fighting it off.
Just wear the glasses.
I so when I, especially if I'm working on a screen at night, I do put on the glasses, but I can't decide if it looks good or not.
Looks good or not? Or just have the surgery, just have LASIK, or what are you doing? Have LASIK, you're fine in 3 weeks.
It's look at you.
Oh my gosh, it's a different person.
Oh, it's like Clark Kent and Superman.
Doesn't help. I mean, like,
I look like a different person. I've never seen. It's a different human with glasses.
Thanks. Yeah, you're making me really comfortable about this now.
Not in a bad way. You
made it worse.
I was taken aback like a damsel in distress. You know when you do the thing when you pass out. Sorry, I was
get out of here.
But I will start. Listen, it's going to happen. Whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, I'm going to have to start wearing those soon. Promise you.
Look, so it's just...
So, at least LASIK. You've got funky, at least you've got LASIK? Funky, beautiful ones. Ah, LASIK. You know, I know two people who went for this and it didn't help them. So I'm on the fence. I'm like an anti-vaxxer when it comes to LASIK surgery for the moment.
Don't you need some level of deterioration? Like it's not like
It has to be bad.
It has to be bad, guy.
If you're having to wear glasses. Trust me, as I am the blindest human alive, my parents are bats, both of them, disgusting humans for giving me these genes. I've had glasses forever.
So these glasses are very, very, they're really for reading.
Very stylish.
No, but they're for reading and they're for when I'm looking at screens. And I'm meant to wear them when I drive at night. But honestly, like I'm not sitting here blind, like you were saying about your parents. So I think I'll be all right. Anyway, isn't it funny that we end up talking about how old I am anyway, despite the birthday not being the priority? Elon says, Jesus, Gareth, you look your age. Thanks.
That's actually the best feedback. That's the best feedback. Like, it's like with women now, I'm going to stop giving compliments. Shout out David Mitchell. Is whenever I see them, I'm not going to go, oh, you look very good. I'll say, I'll carry a little mirror and go, you look like this today. So that's actually good feedback.
All right. Thanks very much. I woke up this morning in a very good mood, I'll have you know, which is unusual.
And now it's better.
Unusual for my birthday. I woke up, had a shower, and made some coffee. I felt good this morning waking up. So I'm not going to let you get me down. Birthday. God damn you. All right. When we come back, the burning platform brought to you by Nando's. That's next, right here on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.